All right, our friend David Bossie, a great author, a great filmmaker, a great advisor to President Donald Trump, often at his side when those rallies happen, joins us on the Newsmaker line for an update on the campaign. David, welcome back. How are you, sir?
I am outstanding. How are you today?
Doing great. I want you to listen to this for 1 minute and give me your unvarnished comments on it. Here it is.
Sure.
Can you imagine standing up when you're a president saying, it's not my responsibility? I take no responsibility. It's not. I mean, literally.
Those words didn't come out of our mouths while we were in office.
I don't understand his inability to get a sense of what people are going through. He just can't relate in any way.
Well, and one of the things that I have always known about you, Joe, it's the reason why I wanted you to be my vice president and the reason why you were so effective. And it all starts with being able to relate. If you can sit down with a family and see your own family in them and the struggles that you've gone through or your parents went through or your kids are going through, if you can connect those struggles to somebody else's struggles, then you're going to work hard for them. And that's always what's motivated you to get into public service.
That, of course, is the new TV ad, campaign ad for Joe Biden with him and President Obama in masks having this little conversation. I wonder if they sat down with a family in Portland what they'd think of 60 days of anarchy and anarchists in their community. It's unbelievable. When you saw that, what were your thoughts, David?
Well, that's a political tactic, that spot. They're trying to connect with your everyday mom and dad sitting around the kitchen table trying to say that Donald Trump is disconnected from reality and trying to play to the narrative that the mainstream media has dedicated themselves to for the last 4 years in their hatred of President Trump. And so I believe what you just said in your question to me is really what this election is going to come down to. It is, are you for law and order? And it doesn't matter where you live in this country. You could live in outside of Philadelphia. You could live in Charlotte. You could live any Midwest. You could live in the West Coast. It just doesn't matter. It resonates. Do you want Portland to be pillaged 50 days in a row, or do you want law and order? Do you want open borders, or do you want border security? Do you want ICE to be returning people to their countries of origin, or do you want human smuggling? Do you want drugs and cartels pouring into this country? This is a binary choice on election day. And what I mean by that is the conversation's over. You either want the future that Donald Trump offers, the future of freedom and prosperity and having an opportunity for you and your children and grandchildren to have that American dream, or it's one of anarchy. It's one of bowing to the mob. It is what Joe Biden stands for. It's what Barack Obama stood for. And it's going back to the Iran nuclear deal, going back to the Paris Climate Accords, going back to bad trade deals. That's what got America into the bad spot that we're in, and we cannot allow that. If we want freedom and prosperity in this country, not anarchy, this is a very clear election. And that's what Donald Trump, that's what the president needs to tell the American people every minute of every day between now and election day. On top of that, we need to get this virus, under control. And we simply, in some states in this country, it is not under control. And we need, and that's what the president, that's one of the reasons that the president a couple of days ago started those daily briefings again, to educate the American people so that they understand how seriously he takes it. Because I think that's a missed opportunity for the president. I think that's where he's headed.
This is what concerns me somewhat about the team around the president, because I know enough people that know him and know him well you know, Steve Moore, Senator Kevin Cramer is very close to him, other folks that have spent a lot of time around the president that talk about his empathy. Steve has this great line. He says, I've worked for hundreds of politicians, and 99.9% of them are complete and total jerks in private and very nice in public. All nicey-nicey. He said Trump's the exact opposite. You know, he's just this nice guy. How do, you know, and look, we've got a pandemic. We've got an economy to build back. We've got military to rebuild. We've got so many things to do. But talk about a guy who's compassionate. Talk about a guy who saw people in prison for the wrong reasons and said, let's have reform. Let's get them out and stuck his neck out. Look at the opportunity zones and what's happening there. I mean, he's doing things, and yet they're saying, well, he doesn't understand me. He doesn't feel my pain. It's not true. Yeah. He does. So how do you better tell the story of the real Donald Trump?
Well, I tell us, if I could, I've known the president for 10 years, over 10 years. I've known him the longest of any of his advisors, except for his family. And I got to know the president in 2009, 2010, because one of my children, my son, was going through 4 brain surgeries, and he ended up having 2 open heart surgeries. He was in dire straits, and because of the incredible medical care at Children's Hospital in Washington, D.C., one of the best opportunities hospitals for pediatrics in the country, we held an event to raise money for Children's Hospital. And I got introduced to Donald Trump through a mutual friend to help me do that. Donald Trump didn't know me. Donald Trump didn't need to help me. But Donald Trump stood right by me for years, helping me raise money, donating his own money to Children's Hospital, not about politics, but about giving the next kid, not my son, but the next kid, an opportunity just like my son had. And so my son was a baby at the time, literally a child. But that same son, on Memorial Day this year, played golf with the President of the United States. And it is, and we talked about that through the 18 holes. I caddied for my son. I don't play golf. But I was there, and the president was reminiscing about those days 10 years ago. That's who your president is. That is, to go to your, exactly to your point, he is rough and tumble publicly to the bad guys, to the anarchists, to the leaders of China and Russia and other countries that are our enemies or that are not our allies. They may not be our enemies, but they are not our friends either. He talks tough to the people that need to be talked tough to, and he's willing to show them the knuckles when necessary. But he is a man, a family man, a man of compassion, and somebody who cares deeply about people he knows and doesn't know. So that conversation about Joe Biden and Barack Obama, they have to make it up. That's their problem. And Donald Trump lives it every day. And pre-corona, he was going to win in a walk. That's just a fact. I mean, he just was going to win re-election in a walk. And this has changed the dynamic, and we have a lot of work to do.
I have a hard time believing the coronavirus from China, whose economy was weakening and ours was strengthening, coming on an election year, just as pure coincidence. Do you think this is just happenstance?
Scott, it's just beyond my, knowledge. Look, I can speculate, but I don't have any idea of whether it was on purpose. But I do think that those things will come out. The president doesn't call it the Chinese virus, the Wuhan virus, for no reason. He knows where it came from, right? We know. The American people now know who is responsible, and we need to hold them accountable. I think that we need to be doing more to hold them accountable, and I think we need to be affecting their capital markets in Hong Kong and other places. I think we need to be, putting sanctions on leaders of the communist government and of in China and of the Chinese banks, because the Chinese banks own, parts of every single Chinese company that's on the Fortune 500, that is on the NASDAQ and on the S&P, and the Dow. They are run, the Chinese banks are government owned and operated. So we need to, you know, the president has some more things in his quiver that he can do to impact China, and I think we need to do that. I think he needs to up the ante on that, because you just saw what they were doing a couple of days ago in burning documents in their, you know, I think it was in Texas, one of their consulates, where they were getting caught doing something, and they literally were burning documents in barrels.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very dramatic stuff. That's something you see in a spy movie, not in real life.
Pass along the fact that the Fargo Dome, where 26, 27, 28,000 people could host be held for a rally, is ready for the rally. So if get them out there, get them among the people, the folks who are with them. We'd love to have them. We're very almost coronavirus free, and there's still a little bit of it here, but it's minuscule.
I was with the president at Mount Rushmore, and that was an amazing experience for him. Great speech by him, but he's looking forward to coming back out to your area.
Yeah, it should be fun. Soon. South Dakota's a blast. I was there too. David, good to see you. Good to talk to you. Appreciate the time very much. We'll have you back. Such a pleasure to catch up with these folks that are inside going to work for the president.